In our New Testament passage, we're going to be looking into the book of Revelation. It's chapter 12 on page 1241. And it's titled, The Woman and the Dragon. It's quite important that we understand that the book of Revelation, God shows his servant John the perspective from heaven. These are visions. And this particular vision shows us the woman, or Mary, giving birth to her son Jesus. So from verse 1, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its heads. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But it was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down. The ancient snake called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray, he was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before God day and night, has been hurled down. They triumph over him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, we're carrying on our series in Genesis, and so if you turn to the front of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3, you've got the page number there, page 5. I'm going to read through to verse 20. Now the snake was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the snake, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, and you mustn't touch it, or you'll die. You'll certainly not die, the snake said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he asked, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The snake deceived me, and I ate it." So the Lord God said to the snake, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate the fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Joel. I'm the Esther minister here. We'll be looking at this passage together. Please keep the Bible open. Let me pray before we have a look. Father God, we thank you for all that you do in our lives. We are sorry that we chase after things in this world and to satisfy ourselves. But you have made us for you, and you alone can satisfy us. We pray that through Christ Jesus, you would satisfy us even today. Through your word, nourish us and make us glorify you in all that we do. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, one of the things with life is that we find that it is not perfect. Even as a teenager, sometimes we find things are not okay with this world. We find even students and youngsters taking the streets, talking about global warming, and blaming the older generations for what they have done to this world. They say they are the ones to be blamed. But again, we see even in politics, they say, "What a mess the previous government has done. We need change." And a new government comes, what happens? They make it worse. Nothing in this world seems perfect. But also in interpersonal relationship, it's not just in the world, but in interpersonal relationship, we would have all been in a family. Some of us would have been in a wider family, been in a communal cultures. And you look back at our lives, how has things been? Has our family life been the way we wanted? Has our communal life been the way we wanted with friends and wider relatives? Nothing is perfect, is it? Who is to blame? Then we look at our own lives, even us as Christians doing God's work. How is our work going? Are we satisfied with the amount of work we put in and the amount of results we find in our lives? No, it's nothing looks perfect. There is a lot of obstacles and challenges, and we feel nothing goes the way we plan. Even I know friends who have been into all sorts of good health advices and into putting physical efforts, but then one day the doctor says, "I'm sad to say," and he gives a report and he goes down to the grave. Nothing is perfect, isn't it? We can work towards a lot of things in life, in the world, in our personal relationships, even with our own lives. Things don't look perfect. Of course, there are some beauty in this world, flowers and gentle streams, but then they too are not perfect. After a while, the flower fades and the water rises to cause flood and disaster and death. We enjoy our babies. They look lovely and innocent, but as they grow, you also wonder who taught them to be naughty and who taught them to lie. Why does nothing seem perfect in this world? What is wrong? In today's Bible passage, we have an explanation, and it puts our story in a bigger story of humanity and explains to us why this world is not in a perfect state. And we will look at today's Bible passage based on 3 points, but the first point, it will come up on the screen, is sin. So sin is the first thing the Bible talks about for why this world is not in a perfect state. So sin, it says sin came through humans. So if you look down at your Bible passage, we are in chapter 3. In the last 2 weeks, we saw that there was a good God who created a perfect world in Genesis 1. And we have seen his special favor towards man and woman, highlighted in Genesis 2, where they were given a marriage and work. And man and woman were living under God's rule and were enjoying friendship and fellowship with God. And now in today's passage, Genesis 3, we come to the saddest moment in human history. Since it mentions talking about snakes, this no mythical story, other books in the Bible take the teachings from the passage seriously. So there's nothing light and there is nothing frivolous in this passage. It is grave in every word that it speaks. So we look at verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made." So the snake mentioned in this passage is later on explained in the Bible, also in the New Testament passage that Chris kindly read for us, as being an evil spiritual being called Satan, or the devil. And there is not a lot of said about Satan in the Bible. However, Satan is mentioned in the Bible as a created being. He rebelled against God. Satan is an enemy of God and his good, and an enemy of God's good plans for humanity. Here we see in Genesis 3, verse 1, the snake or the Satan asked Eve the question, if you look down, "Did God really say," in verse 1, "you must not eat from the tree in the garden?" Now, at first, Eve began to answer well. If you look at verse 1 and verse 2, she starts off by saying, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat." Now, Eve begins at first by correcting him, and then we may eat from the fruits of the trees in the garden. But immediately, Eve begins to go wrong. If you look at verse 3, "But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, otherwise you might die." Eve makes two mistakes in verse 3. First of all, she adds a phrase which we do not find in God's prohibition in Genesis 2. She adds the phrase, you shall not touch it. She makes God's command more strict than it was. Then we see the Satan's next statement is an open contradiction of God's word. You'll see it in verse 4 of Genesis chapter 3. In this passage, Satan puts his word against God's word. So verse 4, the Satan says, you will not certainly die. The snake said to the woman, that's completely contradictory to what God has said in chapter 2. Now Eve has given a choice to believe the words of the serpent or the words of God. But who does she listen to? That again is part of the sadness of this scene in Genesis 3. Satan's challenge to God's word was an opportunity for Adam and Eve, or at least to Eve, to say, God of heaven and earth has given me a great privilege to believe in his word and serve him. But by not taking the fruit and eating, Adam and Eve could have shown that they love living under the rule of God. It was an opportunity for them to show their loyalty to God. Instead of showing loyalty to God, they rebelled against God. So we'll see how it happened in verse 5. If you look down, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So that's what the devil or Satan said to Eve. And Eve starts to listen to the lies from the Satan. She starts to think, maybe something good can come about from doing what God has prohibited, isn't it? Then what does it tell about God who is stopping me from enjoying something good? He probably should be evil. Should I live under his rule? Is it worth it? That's kind of an issue with all of us. The devil always says through different voices that we hear through the media or through podcasts or through influencers and YouTubers, people say you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out on something if you live by the teachings of the Word in the Bible. And we fall into those lies. And that's what happened with Eve. When truths about God were distorted and Eve does not see any beauty in God, what happens? We see in verse 6, when the woman saw that the fruit of the trees was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. What God prohibited suddenly looked good, pleasing, and desirable. Eve went ahead and rebelled against God. Now Adam then chose to rebel against God. No more God was king who decided what is good and evil for Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve became king and queen who decided what was good and evil for themselves. As the serpent said in verse 5, when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God. And that exactly what happened. They rejected the one true living God who created them. And Adam and Eve have become their own God and goddesses. Eating the fruit made them humans who decided their own good and evil. Living under God in submission seemed to be an evil act, and they rebelled against the good God who created and sustained them in this world. So in our church, we constantly explain sin using the three letters of the words. You know, so we say yes stands for show of God, or you stay away God from our life. And I stands for I am in charge. And N stands for no to your rule. So we have to understand it is not the devil or the serpent who made Adam and Eve to do the sin. It was Adam and Eve who did it. Humans sinned and they rebelled against God. devil is not powerful. God's word is powerful. We see in the first two books of the first two chapters of Genesis that he even created everything in this world by his words. But however, devil twists God's word and seeks to gain power over humans. Elsewhere in the Bible, Satan is mentioned as the father of lies. Adam and Eve sinned by rebelling against God's word. Even today, that is the truth that the Bible proclaims. We all rebel against the truths we know in our conscience, we know in the scriptures, and we do it voluntarily. We all sin. Where does the problem lie? Who is to blame for the mess in the society, mess in our interpersonal relationships, mess in our own lives? We can point our fingers in all directions, but God also points the finger on us. He says, "You have rebelled against me. You too are part of the problem." And that is the Christian message. Sin comes through humans, and it destroys us. It destroys our relationships. It destroys the world. But the serpent says, as it says in verse 4, "You will not certainly die." That is the lie we are encouraged to act upon and to rebel against God. That starts with Eve, and she fell into that lie. And that still problem lies to this modern day, isn't it? Even within churches, people deny God's judgment. They say God is love. There is no judgment. You can enjoy your life and do whatever you like. Now you have become a Christian. The very first doctrine ever denied in the history of the world was the doctrine that God would bring judgment on those who rebel against his word. And that is the doctrine we also need to hold on to in order to understand the truths of the scriptures. Because that is exactly what's happened in the Bible. If you look later on, that we'll look at in the second point, when they denied God's word, what happened is death. That's the second point. When we deny God's word, what happened to Adam and Eve was that humans fall under the curse and judgment of God. So we look at verse, we'll be looking at from verses 7 to 19 onwards. So when you look verses 7 to 19, you see that sin came into the world through man, and then if you look, the sin brings curse, judgment, and death into the world. It all starts with shame, if you look at verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. So in verse 5, Satan said, "Your eyes will be opened once you eat the fruit." And you see in verse 7, that's exactly what happened, but not in a positive way. Adam and Eve's eyes were open, and the first thing they feel is shame. It's a bit like you have done something wrong in the night before, and when you wake up in the morning, you have a terrible feeling. You don't know how to feel better. You want to do something to cover the shame you felt from what you did last night. It's kind of that. They use fig leaves to cover themselves. It's not that there was no bigger leaves than the fig leaves in the garden that they chose the fig leaves. They just probably felt horribly shameful that they wanted to do something to feel better. Then the man and the woman in verse 8 heard the sound of the Lord God, and he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So Adam and Eve, who once loved to meet and fellowship with God, now are ashamed to face God. But they could not hide for long. God came looking for him. Verse 9, "But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' Verse 10, it says, 'Adam answered, I heard you in the garden, And I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Verse 11, and God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? Now Adam shifts the blame on his wife, Eve. Verse 12, the man said, the woman who put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. Then in verse 13, God asks Eve, what is that you have done? She shifts the blame on the serpent. And everyone thinks things will be fine. There's not going to be any judgment. That's kind of the thing that happens in this world also, isn't it? If you think of Jimmy Savile, he was honored by the Queen for all that he did for the NHS. But only after his death it was all found out that he used it as a cover to abuse children in the hospitals. His wrongdoings went unpunished in this world. And that's something we think. We think wrong things, we imagine things, we say things, we do things, and we think there is no one watching over us. We're going to get away with it. Sometimes we can think this world is filled with injustice and evil and we will all go unpunished. No, I think the Bible teaches God strictly punishes the wrongdoings that happens in this world. God can't be ignored, and breaking his commandments always has consequences. Judgment must fall on those who have broke his commandments. And so in verse 14 to 19 of our passage today, the sentence is passed on Adam, Eve, and the serpent. So the Lord starts with the serpent. He says, because you have done this, if you look down verse 14, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the day of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. This judgment is specifically to the serpent mentioned in the Bible passage. So Satan received judgment from God. It was not that there was a walking snake in the Garden of Eden, but then snakes are made to crawl on their belly. God was saying that he would curse Satan for the wrongdoings he did to the humanity. Then the woman in verse 16, she gets the judgment from God, and God said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. God talked about the pain in childbearing, but also there is curse upon the relationship. Once Adam said, he's the flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. Now, no more after sin, the relationship, even in marriage, is going to be the same. God says, your desire will be for your husband. And he says to the woman, and he will rule over you. Now after sin entered the world, both man and woman were under the curse. Marriage relationship will not be the way God intended it to be after the fall. Both man and woman will not act the way God originally intended. Both man and woman will act sinfully even in marriage relationships. All marriage relationships will be difficult in a sin-tainted world. That is what the Bible teaches. Sometimes certain secular cultures teach us something different, like the sexual revolution. They say, if you kiss 100 frogs, you might find your perfect princess or the prince. That's never going to happen. That's what the Bible teaches. You're never going to find that perfect person. We will all meet only a sinful man or a woman, and marriage relationships will be hard. Then God spoke to Adam in verse 17, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Curse is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat fruit from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food. First of all, we are told Adam will have pain in his labor in the ground. Last week we saw from chapter 2, the work was a God-given task for humans. Toil and labor, pain and labor, grief and labor are a result of sin. Secondly, there could be issues that would crop up and cause frustration to his labor. There's going to be thorns and thistles in the ground that he was attempting to cultivate. Even work is not going to satisfy us. Sin-affected relationship, work causes pain and suffering. But above all, sin brought death into humanity. So in verse 19, if you see, by the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. When humans separated themselves from the author of life, what they brought upon them was this judgment from God and death into this world. We all live under the fall. Adam was like the root of the humanity. He's the first man, but then out came humanity. And we are all under the judgment of God. And what is the hope for us as humanity? Who can now deliver us from these problems? I think the worldly savior has come upon, isn't it? Even children come upon, like Greta Thunberg. They say, oh, now adults, you leave it to us. We're going to sort all this mess out. We're going to clear the global warming and make this world great again. Or you have people like Keir Starmer or Donald Trump. We say, we're going to make America great again. Or we have others who think, oh, we can help you with your human relationships and come up with philosophies how our relationships are going to get better, how our life is going to be better. Everything has to be taken with a pinch of salt, because the Bible teaches in this world no one is going to make everything perfect. We all look to God to provide a solution, and God has offered us a solution. That's what we're going to look at next, is on the topic of Savior. God offers hope by offering a man for humanity. So human sin resulted in Adam and Eve being put under a death sentence. However, Adam gave his wife the name Eve in verse 20 because she would become the mother of all the living. Why was that? It was because Adam heard what God said in verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. From among the children of Eve, there will be one child who would have the victory over Satan. So in verse 15 it says, he will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. In verse 21, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. It was not because winter was soon coming and they needed better covering than fig leaves. It was because God showed that he would do something to cover the shame of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve sinned and they fall under the judgment and they feel ashamed. And now who can recover us from that shame we are under? When we are under the God's judgment, God says there is only one way. In some religions, they teach that you can work your way towards better relationship with God. God has given you the holy book. Maybe in your teenage, you've been a bit naughty, but now come back, go on pilgrimage, read your holy scriptures, do fasting, meditation, and things are going to get better with God. But we see in this passage, it's humans cannot make our way back to God. Our efforts will never be acknowledged. So you see in verse 22, the Lord said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Verse 23, so the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he has been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword, flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. So humanity was chased away from the perfect world. And that movement out of Eden indicates that the nature of God's, man's greatest loss is the fall. In that garden, man and God had walked in the cool of the day. Now man has lost communion with God. No more man and God are, God is there to bless man. No more God is there to relate well with man. And God has placed a cherubim, an angel, which shows that it is impossible for man to initiate anything and restore that perfect world without God doing something for us. Now the only hope for humans is the offspring of Eve, who will destroy Satan. Later on in the book of Genesis, we see that the offspring would be a descendant of Abraham. Then in the later books of the Old Testament, it becomes clear that the offspring would be from the line of a king called David. And when you read the New Testament books, we see that from the lineage of Abraham and from King David was born Jesus. Jesus would be slain by God on the cross. God would clothe sinful humans in Jesus Christ. God has offered an offspring of Eve as a hope to truly cover the shame of those who sin and fall under the judgment of God. This is the only hope that God offers for those who rebel against God, disobey His words, and fall under His judgment. Would you hold on to this hope? If you're a Christian, as always, we all thank God for the hope He has offered in Christ Jesus. No one else can save us from this fallen world, from this broken relationships, from the judgment we face and going to the grave. There is one hope that God offers, and that is through Christ. And so we thank Him and say, "You alone can save us." And we continue to look to Christ alone for our hope in this broken world. And if you are not a Christian, you are called to think about this hope that God Himself offers. There can be other saviors who could come and say, "We will sort it out. We will help you find a better world, a better relationship, a better life." None of this is going to happen. And God offers only one hope. Hold on to the hope that God offers in Christ Jesus. Let me pray. Our Lord and our God, we pray that You would apply the truths from this Bible passage to our hearts spiritually, that we could see our own sins, and that we would care far more about our own sins than we do about pointing our fingers at our neighbors, at our leaders, and at people across the globe. May we learn to trust upon Christ alone, for we do not have the power in ourselves to re-enter in the state of communion with You. And so we rest upon Him alone, for He has taken our place and lived perfectly and died to cover our shame and make us the children of God. Help us to believe. Help us, O God, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.